Today's scripture is Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, church. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I serve as the senior pastor here at First United Methodist Church of Austin. It's my delight to welcome you to worship this morning. Some of you were here last Sunday, and so you're still working on your perfect attendance in 2026 in worship. Congratulations, still on it, 100%. But I know that some of you are in worship for the first time this year, either getting back into the swing of things or maybe getting into a new swing of things. I'm glad that you're here. Worship is this time that we set aside and protect. It is an anchor point that helps to set the rhythm of our souls for the week. It brings us into this intergenerational community where we hear baby cries and grandpa coughs, and all together we yield to the gravitational pull of God in our lives. That presence of God that sustains us when life is hard and when the world is so chaotic. We relish this time when we can slow down enough to tune into God's Spirit in ways that hopefully will reverberate all week long in us. Today is Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. This is the day when we remember the story that is at the beginning of the Gospels, which we didn't read today, but we kind of sang it. I love that first opening hymn that we sang, where it really kind of walks through the whole story, where down at the Jordan River, John was baptizing all those ordinary people when Jesus himself, the Son of God, came to be baptized. And the heavens opened, and the Spirit of God came to him like a dove coming down out of the sky. And a voice said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. In him I am well pleased," or "he makes me happy." I want you to have that baptism story in your mind as I tell you another baptism story. This one is about Chris. Chris, you see, was raised in the brothel that his mother ran a couple of blocks away from the Methodist church in his town. Most of us probably can't imagine a childhood like his, but we can imagine that as Chris was growing up, he looked and found community, belonging, wherever he could. And so he found it in a gang. He found folks who were like family to him there. And he became known as a pretty tough guy. That's the pulpit safe version of saying, you know, those are the pulpit friendly words to say that, a pretty tough guy. At some point, Chris killed a man. I don't know the circumstances of that. I don't know that it's important for the story. But Chris went away to prison for some years after that. By the time he got out of prison, he went home to find most things basically as they were before, as they had always been, except something different was happening at that Methodist church a couple of blocks away. There was activity several days a week there now, and there were people coming and going, more people who looked like him. He watched from a distance for 6 months or so. Each week he got a little bit closer to the action until finally one day he went in to eat. And then he went again. And then he went some more. And then he got to know some people, some that he had known in childhood or in his gang days, and others that he could never have imagined befriending. But you see, something was happening there that made people into sort of an unexpected family. Like a gang, but better. Before too long, Chris was deeply invested in that church community. He was helping out. He was even starting to lead. He was there several times a week, including on Sundays, and he was starting to believe that what the preacher said might be true for him, that there was a God who loved him, that he might be a son in whom God is well pleased. I don't know how many months it took, but the day came when Chris was ready to be baptized. And he wore his best clothes that day, and as he stood before the congregation in a sanctuary, a historic sanctuary, not too different from this one, the pastor stood next to him, and when he reached out and he put his hand on Chris's back, he realized that he was shaking. He was trembling like a leaf. And he couldn't believe it. This, you know, this big, tough guy with such a commanding presence. And the pastor said, "Well, Chris, you're shaking. What's wrong? Are you okay?" And Chris said, "Pastor, the last time that I stood in front of this many people, I was being sentenced to life in prison." And the pastor said, "Well, Chris, that's fitting, because you're getting a new sentence today. Today you are being sentenced to life abundant. See, the former things have come to pass, and a new thing I now declare, says the Lord." On this day, when we remember the baptism of Jesus and we remember and we reaffirm our own baptisms, we are reminded that in this sacrament, in this sign act, our lives have been roped in with Jesus' life. One version of the liturgy puts it in this way. It says, "In baptism, we are buried with Christ, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life." In this act, we are sentenced to life. New life. Abundant life. In and through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have never been to prison. I have never attended my own sentencing, although some choice moments with my parents as a teenager might come close to qualifying. But I think I know something of that feeling as I look at the world around me. The feeling that the chaos is growing and looming larger and that I am powerless to stop it. Watching as our government targets our own people within this country, and as it exercises imperial violence around the world. It's more than just this week. It's more than just the government. We've been watching for years as our country descends into fractured isolation, as standard behavior becomes ever more violent, as hunger and poverty become less important to people of faith than these fabricated religious crusades against, I don't know, vile things like empathy. It's easy to go to despair, which is its own sort of prison, its own sentence. It's easy, as Brian McLaren wrote earlier this week, to feel ourselves being sucked into being a part of the disease instead of part of the healing. But that, my friends, is right where the water breaks through. That's where this water comes into contact with the Spirit of God and offers us a new sentence. The water comes with the promise of a God who is always, always doing a new thing, coming into this world with incarnational power in the person of Jesus Christ, the person whom we heard Isaiah affirms came to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes of that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, from prison, those who sit in darkness. He came to sentence us all to life. That is the promise of baptism. But that promise holds within it a calling as well. You hear it in the vows that we will renew today. That again and again through these waters, God is giving us all that we need to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, to reject the evil powers of this world, and to repent of our sin. God is giving us freedom and power and calling us to take it up and to use it to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. In these waters, God continues to give us all that we need to pursue life, not just for ourselves, but for the whole world, to be a part of the healing. That is what the social principles are about that we're talking about all this month. They're about God's people reckoning with what it really looks like to be a part of the healing of the world. Whom do we stand alongside? Who do we advocate for? What sin needs correcting, naming, and then correcting? What change do we seek within ourselves and beyond? These social principles are a bold claim of the church that to open the eyes of the blind actually does have something to do with affordable access to health care. That to bring out prisoners from the dungeon does have something to do with prison reform and the abolition of the death penalty. This, all of this heady theological stuff, it hits the ground. And it hits the ground in your life and in mine. These principles help to guide us even now in responding to the events of this week. They affirm that we as a church, this is word for word, we as a church reject the governmental use of threats, extortion, unlawful detentions, extrajudicial killings, and other forms of coercion to silence those objecting to unlawful or immoral government policies and practices. They call us to protest against crimes of aggression by any government. They tell us this is what it looks like to reject evil, the evil powers of this world. This is what it looks like to resist. These principles say that these are the clear ways that we believe God desires new life, abundant life in this world. And they invite us to commit to take up this baptismal calling, to spend our whole lives working for it, for the healing. They say that is the worthy use of a life. So we're exploring these social principles in worship for the next month or so. And as we do that, each week we are, during this series, we are together going to affirm our commitment through the words of the United Methodist Social Creed. We'll say that in just a moment. And as we do, we're not ready quite yet, thank you. As we do that, I want you to think of these words as an extension of your baptism and the vows that God is empowering you to uphold every single day of your life. Because friends, baptism is not just an event of the past. It's not just a box that got checked in your life. It is a promise and a calling in which you are renewed each and every day. Every shower, every splash of water can be a reminder that in Christ, in this chosen one in whom God delights, God is pulling you out of that dungeon of despair and sentencing you to abundant life. In short, every drop of water is a reminder, friends, that it is time to re-up your sentence to life. Thanks be to God. Amen. So now I invite you to